shine forever. Your name is higher than the rising sun. Your name is higher than the rising sun.
Glad you're here today. As we begin our service, I invite you to stand if you are able. And before we begin our gathering today, I would like to acknowledge that we gather here on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples, and we're grateful to live, play, and work on this land. And as we're a church primarily composed of settlers, living in this land is in the spirit of reconciliation, that we recognize that these First Peoples have loved and cared for the land, their neighbors, and all the rest of their relations since time immemorial. And we are called to learn from these peoples and make efforts towards justice and reconciliation together. And now I invite you to read our Advent prayer with me and read in the whole. Loving God, in this season, we desire an honest Advent, a time where we bring our true selves before you without pretense or perfection. We bring our hopes and our doubts, our joys and our struggles. We open our whole selves to you. We acknowledge the brokenness we see in the world and in ourselves. The pain, the aching, the injustice, the loneliness, and the fear. Come, Emmanuel, be present with us. In the waiting and in the uncertainty, you are here. Help us to see your light in the darkness. Grow your hope in us. Come, Emmanuel, be present with us. Thank you.
searching for the way to go. Stranger, heavy hearted, longing for someone to know. May you find a light. May you find the light. May you find the light to guide you home.
Power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Morning. Today's lectionary reading is from Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Our sermon passage today is Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy,
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, and welcome again, especially if you're visiting today. My name's Rebecca. I'm part of the staff team here. This is our welcome and announcements moment. If you are visiting today and you'd like to find out what's going on outside of our Sunday mornings, you can sign up for our weekly email, which is our main mode of communication. You can sign up for it on a contact card out in the lobby with Rochelle. Friendly Rochelle, go introduce yourself. We'd love to meet you. And we also have an app that you can download through Church Center, though I don't have that on the screen there, sorry. It's just analog today. Behind me on the screen, in a second, you'll see a couple of our events that are coming up in the next week and a half, this final stretch towards Christmas. This week we've got our longest night of the year gathering, Wednesday evening, upstairs on the fifth floor. We've got our kids' Christmas movie party on the weekend, and then our Christmas Eve gathering next week, on the 24th, not quite next week, from 6 to 7 here. And that's always a lovely short and sweet candlelight service, great to invite friends and family to if you like. We are still looking for a couple more folks to volunteer to just welcome and greet people and hand out candles on their way in. So if you're interested, if you know you'll be here and you wouldn't mind helping out, please speak to me or send me an email. That would be much appreciated. And speaking of our volunteers, we just wanted to take a moment here at the end of the year to give a big thanks to all of you who volunteer in so many different capacities. We have almost 150 volunteers who make this place run smoothly on a week-to-week basis, whether it's like making our coffee or hanging out with our kids or playing worship or setting up, so many different things. In a space like this that we don't own. There's a lot that goes into making these gatherings happen. So we have a small token of our appreciation that we hope each of you will pick one up of on your way out today. We have these lovely hand-painted ornaments created and generously gifted by Rhonda. I don't see Rhonda. Is Rhonda here today? There she is in the red toque. Thank you so much, Rhonda, and thank you to each of you volunteers. We are so grateful. This is just a very small token of our thanks, but please do go and pick one up from the info desk on your way out today. And then Jonathan is going to come up and say a word from our lead team.
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing today? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. Okay, cool. I'm here. My name is Jonathan. I'm one of the members of the lead team. I have a financial update for you. I'm not an accountant, but I'm going to try to do this. So some of you might be wondering, beyond a Sunday, what actually happens, what does Artisan do? And so each week of December, we're going to give you a bit of an update on what Artisan gets up to. Artisan exists in order to join God in the renewal of all things. Our task as an organization is to gather, nurture, and empower people to follow the way of Jesus in all of life, collectively and individually. And we do this by offering sacred spaces and practices for healing, community, and imagination. In order to support these sacred spaces of healing, community, and imagination, we create a budget each year based on the giving capacity of our community. So last week, Alexia talked a bit about how we are creating spaces for healing. And today we want to talk about and highlight our spaces of connection and belonging. So community is what results when we draw close to Jesus and become the body of Christ. Becoming the body of Christ challenges us to follow Jesus' way of generosity, simplicity, justice, and joy. And I have a slide of some of these things. So you're going to have to squint or get out your binoculars, but if you have them with you, you can see some of the things over here. So one of the main ways that we steward community connection is through our midweek groups. These involve things like neighborhood groups, pop-up groups, and prayer teams, all sorts of things. We've gone through a bit of a neighborhood group revitalization project, which we'll give you some more details about. We did some surveys and did some research on that. We'll give you some more details in the weeks ahead. But a highlight of that is that we've had 7 new groups start, and about 150 people regularly attending these neighborhood and pop-up groups, which is pretty decent because on average on a Sunday, there's about 170 people here for the gatherings. So that's a lot of us. There's also special events that we have throughout the year, like different retreats. Obviously, one of the main ones we have is our yearly retreat that's been at Stillwood. This year, we had 200 people register for that. In addition to that, though, some of you may have been on these other retreats. We've had 75 people register for things like songwriting retreats, silent retreats, youth retreats, amongst many other ones, prayer retreats. What else we got there? We have other things like guess who's coming for brunch. Did anyone go to that this year? Yeah, first time anyone? Yeah, was it awkward? Probably. I signed up to host. I thought I signed up to host, but then I didn't hit submit, so nobody came to mine. but I went to a different one. That was good. So we had 125 people sign up for that, which is incredible. We have other events like the longest night of the year, which is going to be happening this week, amongst many other things that we do. Sunday gatherings. We talked about how many volunteers we have, but with our kids program, we have about 78 kids that are part of that. And with our youth program, which a few years ago we had no youth, we now have about 20 plus in that range. So that's a growing field for us as well. Beyond our church, we have other events that we do. At Jacob's Well, which we were at a couple weeks ago, we're connected with them. Places like the Japanese Hall, Zero Block, UGM, Powell Street Festival, which happens in the spring and summertime. We also have things, this is a long list, I'm almost done. We also have things like the 20s and 30s group, which pops up every few weeks as well. And to gather community, we've launched a directory. Has anyone signed up for the directory already? Has anyone put your pictures in the directory already? Cool. So if you want to, I won't say that. I was going to say if you want to find people on there, you've got to be connected with the church, but sign up for that. Anything else here to say? Yes, and many of us who attend here on a Sunday morning work hard to build community throughout the week as well in our workplaces and other things that we do. So Sunday gatherings are not only a place to build connections, but they're a place to be refreshed for the work that we're doing in the community. So to kind of summarize everything, these are just some of the ways that Artisan has been contributing to the community and the church and beyond. And the finance part of this. At the end of the year, we find ourselves needing to raise $70,000 above and beyond our regular giving in December. So up to now, we have received $25,000, which is huge, because last week, Alexia said we had $4,500. So that's quite a bit. But our goal is $70,000, so if there's any extra giving that you had been thinking about, there's ways to do that online on the website. And that is all I will say about that. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. All right, good morning. My name is Namaya, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm going to be giving a special welcome to all the children in the room, which is great to see everybody. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and during Advent, the children help us move Mary and Joseph, who you might have seen on the table, towards the stable. In doing this, we remember that Mary and Joseph were on a journey toward Bethlehem, a lowly stable, parenthood, and finding out what it meant to know Christ the child. We are also on a journey towards knowing God, seeking God's healing, learning how to live in community, and reimagining what it means to practice the way of Jesus in all that we do. Upstairs, in the rooms listed on the slide, the kids will learn how Mary's story helps us learn how we can listen to God. After I pray, parents, you can take your children to their class, and everyone else in the room can take a moment to pass the peace to one another. And right now, could I have all the grade one and grade twos in the room raise their hand if they're feeling okay to do that? Okay, I see a few of you. Awesome. So while I pray, could I get you all to quickly sneak right up to the front here? And you're going to help me this week move Mary and Joseph. So let's pray. Oh, there's also a youth class. Sorry. Yes, third floor. Fourth floor. So don't listen to the slide entirely, I guess. Fourth floor, youth class. Okay, let's pray for real now. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to be born as a human. Thank you for the hope and peace that Jesus' birth brings to us. Open our eyes so we may see new ways to join you in renewing all things this Advent season. And give us peace in hard times and renew our energy for life's journey. Amen. All right, grade ones and twos, you can come on up.
Time for peace is over. As in talking peace. No more talking and passing the peace. But if you can't hear me, you are welcome to stand, sing, and sing joyfully. Except not that song, yeah.
Very full of grace, the Lord your God is with you. Blessed are you that bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours, the Spirit is upon you. You will be with child, do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace. Word made flesh, born of Virgin Mary, hope is in the world. Thank you. to die he came. He would show the world a better way.
Good morning, people. People of Artisan, good morning. Oh, yes. Great to see you all. I feel a lot of gratitude in this moment for this space when the sunlight shines through. Man, you picked a good Sunday to come. And grateful for Tim and the music. Oh, just feeling some gratitude. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about Theotokos. Does anyone know what Theotokos is? You can kind of figure it out if you break apart the word Theo. What does Theo mean? God. It's a Greek word. Tokos. Anyone? Bear or to give birth. Who said bear? Oh yeah, of course, the Greek. A nerd who just happens to be our sound tech today. Yeah, it's mostly a term used in Eastern Orthodoxy and Catholicism, Greek term meaning God bearer or Mother of God, aka Mary. This is a Greek Orthodox icon of Mary. We're going to spend a little bit of time on her as the lectionary text did this morning. Protestant traditions, like Artisans, have generally shied away from Mary. And I think there's a few reasons for that. Not knowing what to do with her, maybe at the best, respecting and honoring her role in the Jesus story. But also there's a bit of concern that she would become an object of worship. My experience growing up in a Protestant church, an independent Protestant church, was that Catholics weren't Christian, probably not, and that praying to Mary was weird. Protestant traditions have generally avoided practices like praying to Mary, using statues or icons of Mary, or celebrating feast days that celebrate her at the risk of slipping into idolatry. I say all this because she is the central character in today's scripture reading, which tells the story of the Annunciation, the announcement of incarnation by the angel Gabriel. And for what it's worth, as a Protestant pastor, I'm totally stoked to focus on Mary today and find her an encouraging figure and person in the Jesus narrative. And I guess kind of my thesis is that Mary is an example of what it means to participate in our incarnation as Theotokos, God-bearers. So Luke 1:26-38 is the passage. I want to read it again, but first, just for reference, last year we focused on Mary's song, also known as the Magnificat. So this passage comes just before that section. And in Luke's account of this, Luke is the author of the passage we're reading, we see Mary as a few things: favored, perplexed, shocked, thoughtful, and afraid. And it's no wonder that if you did a Google search of the Annunciation artwork, you'd see Mary depicted in various ways: afraid, assertive, serene. Here's a painting from 1898 by Henry Ossawa Tanner. And you see that the angel here is represented as a bright column of light appearing before Mary. There's a clear sense of otherworldliness beyond human experience or understanding. And Mary here is depicted as attentive. She's sitting up, curious, her head tilted toward and eyes widened. Maybe a bit nervous, her hands clasped and hunched inward. This is an image from Scott Erickson's Honest Advent called The Annunciation. We see the angelic being encountering Mary and giving the news that she will carry the Christ child. So I'm going to change it up a little bit. I've been really enjoying this album by Alexandra Strelesky called Neo Romance, and it is beautiful classical style piano, and I enjoy meditating and praying to this music, and so I'm going to kind of impose my spiritual practice on you this morning. And we've heard Glenn read the passage without music, and I'm going to read it again with a soundtrack. So, just get into a comfortable space, and we're going to look at the text, Luke 1:26-38, with the help of Alexandra. Luke 1:26-38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Theologian Cynthia Rigby said, in addition to inviting us to think about who we are and what we do in relation to God and God's work, this passage, Luke 1, challenges us to be reoriented by what the incarnation tells us about the character of God. So I want to follow this thread a bit this morning and explore this third Sunday of Advent, what it means to participate in incarnation. But first, what is incarnation? What are we talking about when we say that word? If you've been around church, you may have heard it, especially at this time. Most definitions will include the word embodiment or personification. An example is she was the absolute incarnation of kindness. Something other becoming tangible and real, becoming human. Or one definition could be participating in bringing forth Christ into this world. Theotokos, God bearers. I want to submit a simple definition, and that is just embodying Christ. Incarnation as embodying Christ. Obviously, Mary literally embodied Christ in the womb. As Cynthia Rigby says again, Mary acts as creative partner and agent with God in the coming of the Christ child. And I want to take it a step further, that we can be creative partners with God in the coming of Christ today. So I want to look at how the Annunciation, this announcement to Mary from Gabriel, and how the nature of this message is, and get ready for some really cringy preaching alliteration, that the nature of this message is specific, supportive, and spirit-empowered. Yes, thank you. My dad would be proud. My dad is also a pastor, and I think every sermon was alliteration. Yeah, some people that know him. And just to make him extra proud, I'm going to throw in another set of alliteration if you don't like this set. Particular, promoting, and pneumatic. Yeah. Wow. Whoa. Okay, thank you. I've never had a clap mid-sermon, so that's high praise. Another one? Jonathan's feeling generous. And like that quote I read earlier, by looking at the nature of the announcement, it tells us something about the character of God. I just want to give a quick sermon note as you're listening, as you're participating this morning. You might find yourself wondering, is he talking about Mary or is he talking about us? And the answer is yes. First, specific. God's messenger comes at a particular time. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. God's messenger comes in a particular place, Nazareth, a town in Galilee, which is a real place in Israel today. Here's a current map of Nazareth. and there's a Pizza Hut. And I don't know if you can see with your eyes there, but next to the Pizza Hut is the Church of the Annunciation, which is just kind of jarring to see that this exists. But this is the place that was believed to be the setting for this story that we're looking at today. And then you can go to pizza after. And Nazareth is only a small town. We only really know it because of Jesus and the story of Jesus. It's only 78,000 people today. Back then it was estimated to be a few hundred. And this is where God chooses to enter the world. A no-name village to a no-name child. And it says to a particular woman, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Theologians talk about the scandal of particularity. I love this. How can the omnipotent, omniscient creator of the universe enter into the particularities of human existence? I think this is cause for great hope, because if he came into a specific time and place in history, it means Christ could come again into our specific and particular lives. Here and now. And I've seen it. I've seen God's incarnation through you. This opens up the belief that if God looked favorably on this young Middle Eastern girl from this small village, that maybe God also sees me. Which moves me to the second word, supportive. Verse 28 says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I imagine this would have been a little bit baffling for Mary to hear. Favored? Me? But why? And it's not for the reasons that we typically associate with someone being favored. Often we see God's favor as being something you can earn by good deeds or moral do-goodery. And I think there's a false belief that God's favor comes to those who give or do something for God. Pray and read your Bible and you'll be loved by God. For every good deed, there's a jewel on your crown in heaven. But God's rationale with Mary is completely different. God chooses Mary because she has nothing. She's a young girl in a patriarchal society that values men's voices and where women have the same rights as children. Virtually nothing. In Mary's song, later in this passage in Luke, she identifies herself as lowly and poor. This is not usually the person that is seen as favored. But God promotes Mary to a place of honor and gives her the vocation of Theotokos, God-bearer, mother of God. Absolutely radical. That God would choose to pour out his spirit in order to bring salvation for the whole world through this woman. Texts like this have fueled what is known as the liberation theology movement. Mary's story gives hope to those who are oppressed and those on the margins of society, because Gabriel's greeting of favor to Mary extends also to them. According to the angel, this savior, this liberator, is going to be born among them, the people who were poor, and to make the beatitude true that blessed indeed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the third thing this passage tells us about the incarnation is that it's spirit empowered. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. There's actually two miracles here. There's Mary, the virgin, who becomes pregnant, And then there's Elizabeth, the postmenopause elder, who is also pregnant, we find out, often overshadowed by Mary's miracle. It says in verse 7 in Luke 1 that Elizabeth was childless because she was not able to conceive, and she was very old. That's how that NIV writes it, very old. Two miracles. Two women who shouldn't be pregnant are pregnant. This image by Scott Erickson depicts the virgin birth. The spirit represented by the dove. It's funny to me in my pastoral work, in conversations with people, the virgin birth is probably right up there. Top three, I would say, of really challenging things to believe about Christianity. Makes sense. It's ludicrous. And if you're wondering how did it happen or did it actually happen, if that matters to you, my best exegetical and apologetic answer to that is I have no idea. I'm just like you. I'm going off the text and a bit of faith. Even Mary was like, how can this be? So she, in the story, is like also with us, like, this isn't possible. And maybe it's good just to leave it there. How can this be? We don't need to figure it out. We don't need to know. Trust that maybe it potentially could have happened. That's all I got for you this morning. But we know that it's impossible without supernatural help. Also, I think a good reminder that it's our lives with Christ aren't initiated by our own effort and intention, but that we're not the first movers. We are the joiners. You know, we say that phrase all the time. We're joining God in the renewal of all things. We didn't start the movement of renewal. That's God's work. We join in with that. And then I love this, Mary's response. Because up till now, it's just an announcement. The angels said some things, words were said, feelings were had, but it's just words. Nothing has happened. Mary isn't pregnant yet. And what's her response? Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I'm so inspired by her loyalty, by her humility. Doesn't say what her tone or posture was. I think that's the fun and creative part of art, is to be able to imagine what that would be. Was she apprehensive or was she just totally confident? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be Theotokos. Ashley Cook Clear says, Mary's assignment from God is an honor yoked with struggle. Yeah, and I think that's true, that the hard part for Mary in the response is now the waiting, now the growing, literally, the unease of change. And she's probably realizing there's no quick or easy way through this. In Honest Advent, Scott Erickson talks about this encounter as, and he titles it chapter 6, Unease. In other words, this is Mary's Advent. The Annunciation for her has implications. A promise of a son, yes, but also of stretching and growth, change, discomfort, and unease. From that chapter, Scott Erickson, but when you say to the giver of life, I want my life to be meaningful, I want to serve you with my life, may it be so according to what you desire. You have no idea what secret cosmic strategies have been put into play to answer that request. I stumbled across this old credit card ad. The motto is, it takes the waiting out of wanting. And I just think that's the perfect motto for our modern consumer world. The subtext is, because waiting sucks. You don't want to wait. You want to buy the thing, do the thing now. Get in the VIP lineup so you can be ahead. Go over here and be this. And at all costs, don't find yourself waiting. If you do, look at your phone or play a game or watch some content. Just don't do nothing. And I find myself leaning into the season of Advent as a bit of a protest against this and what culture is selling us as Christmas. Advent is where we're encouraged to feel the weight. Advent is the season of holy waiting. And it reminds us that God shows up when and where we least expect it. Advent calls us to slow down and pay attention, to feel the weight, to lean into the unease of waiting. Another way to look at it is this term, the pain paradox. Dr. Fleet Mall describes it as our natural instinct being to escape pain, but the problem is healing, freedom, transformation are on the other side of pain. Which brings me to another P, participation. We are invited into the unease of growth and change and stretching. We, Artisan Church, are invited to be Theotokos, God bearers. This isn't a pastor-centric thing. This is a polycentric movement of Theotokos. And I want to repeat this prayer from Scott Erickson. May the unease of your stretching and expanding be the promise of divine love growing in you a new life of unforeseen possibility. One more time. May the unease of your stretching and expanding be the promise of divine love growing in you a new life of unforeseen possibility. So we've looked a little bit at Mary's journey and her response. And I just have a question for us in the room. What is our response to the possibility of incarnation happening in and through us? What do you say to the idea of embodying Christ? And like Mary, our invitation to participate in incarnation is specific, supportive, and spirit-empowered. It's specific in that it's to us here and now. We're invited to be Christ-bearers in our places of work, our neighborhood, with our family. And let's get really specific. What does it mean to be to embody Christ with those that you're closest with? Maybe a roommate, or a family member, or a close friend, or a workmate. Maybe it's showing compassion when you don't really feel like it. Maybe it's being willing to forgive. Or here, in this community that we call Artisan Church, how can we embody Christ in this community? I've been really encouraged by you, Kane. And Kane is new to our community. Say hello to Kane. And it's not spelled like Cain in the Bible. It's spelled C-A-Y-N-E, just to clarify. And if... not going to kill us. Cain, to me, embodied Christ in a way that was very specific to me. Last week, we were lined up for communion, and he just tapped me on the shoulder, and he said... I just felt like the Spirit telling you that you're like a turtle and like struggling on the sand but you're going to be good, basically was the gist of it. And it was probably hard for you to say that. It's because it was kind of odd. But it was so specific to me, and the loggerhead turtle has been like a mascot in my life of how the Spirit moves and encounters me. And so it was like just such a weirdly, oddly specific word that you couldn't really have just guessed that that animal would have been significant. And I just appreciated your courage in stepping out and saying that. And maybe as an example to follow those unctions, those feelings, that maybe there's something to this, and just a word of encouragement or a supportive touch. It really emphasizes for me the possibility that maybe, just maybe, you're carrying God's love for someone else. That maybe when you feel love towards someone, maybe it is divine. Maybe God is coming to you and saying to give it. Participation in incarnation, I think, is also supportive. God's voice is a loving one, not harsh, not shaming or critical of ourselves. Richard Rohr writes, "We must listen to what is supporting us. We must listen to what is encouraging us. We must listen to what is urging us. We must listen to what is alive in us. We must learn how to recognize the positive flow and to distinguish it from the negative resistance within ourselves." God, it seems, is especially interested in supporting and showing favor to those like Mary who are on the margins and those who are oppressed. So don't be surprised that if you hear God's loving voice and feel the comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit, that it also might be calling and stretching you to extend that comfort and support to others who need it. Which leads to the last S, Spirit empowered. We are not alone. The Spirit is our comfort, our guide. The Spirit, known as the great paraclete, literally the one who comes alongside to help, guide, counsel, and comfort. Thanks be to God. And I want to close before we come to the table with a prayer that was birthed in the Iona community, which is an ecumenical Christian community in Scotland. And it is just a really simple and a great invitation to be Theotokos, to be God bearers. Will you at least entertain? I'm always wondering in a sermon, is anyone out there, like, is anyone listening? Will you at least entertain the possibility of being a God bearer? That's my only request. If you forget anything, everything I've said, just to entertain that you could actually be that. Yes or no? It's yeah. Okay. Thank you. Well, let's end with this prayer. It's called Be Born in Us. Here is a place for you, Lord Jesus. Make our hearts ready to love and to welcome you. Be born again, not in a manger, but in us. Make us your Bethlehem, where God is personal and all things and all people are made new. One more time. Here is a place for you, Lord Jesus. Make our hearts ready to love and to welcome you. Be born again, not in a manger, but in us. Make us your Bethlehem, where God is personal and all things and all people are made new. Amen. And as we come to the table, it's the perfect movement, talking about Theotokos and being God bearers. We literally embody Christ, the body and the blood. We take it into ourselves and we take it out of here. I mean, it's the perfect sermon illustration for this message. And so we're going to embody this together as a community. Anyone is welcome to participate in this. I know in some church traditions, you have to be a believer or catechized or baptized. This is open for everyone, and that's why we have children come. And that's why we have people who might be questioning or doubting faith or atheist or agnostic. And everyone is welcome. It's a radically low table, and that's intentional. And I want to invite us to just say the words of the communion table liturgy as we prepare our hearts in a time of response. You can pray where indicated in the bold on the slides. Jesus, you broke bread with the poor and the rich, the co-opted and the radicals, family, strangers, lepers, children, lawmakers, fishers, friends, and betrayers. May our tables reflect yours. May all who participate in the sacred meal experience your presence. We come to your table wounded and wounding, where we make choices that harm participants. God, you are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and full of love. You are tender with all that you have made. We find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Honor our honesty. Oh, may we be empowered and liberated for daily resurrection. We have different scripts here. May we keep this table in memory and hope until we feast together with Christ at the coming of the kingdom.
We who are many are one body, for we all share.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, gathered for a meal with his friends. And in the middle of the meal, he picked up the bread and he said, "This bread is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Then he picked up the wine, which is represented by a juice today in solidarity with those in recovery. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Take it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I want to invite us to time of response. Parents, you're instructed to get your children if they're on the third floor, but don't rush off too quick. If you can take a moment to say a prayer and a pause, to bow your head or to take communion, do that. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite the band back up to lead us. And we're also going to pray. You can do that at your chairs. And there's a couple ways you can join in prayer. I'll be joined together with Jenny from the prayer team. And we'll be in the corner there for anyone that wants us to come alongside of you in prayer for something specific or even just in general. If you prefer to write a prayer and you like writing words, you can write a prayer of the people over on the table there. And I just want to draw attention to the table. I don't know if you noticed the weaving that was covering the table today. This was made at our Advent art event at Jacob's Well. And so Russell and Bree put it together for us and brought it here. And it's the tablecloth for our Prayers of the People station. So if you do get over there, take a look and see how the weaving came together. Really special. I think that's it. Come down the diagonal aisles. If you've never done this before, just follow everyone else and try not to dip your fingers in the juice. If you're weirded out by that, you can come to this station on this end, which is a gluten-free, celiac-friendly station. There's also long toothpicks if you'd prefer not to touch things. All right. Come and eat the body of Christ given, the blood of Christ shed out of love for you. Amen.
We are Spirit of faith, you
have not given us spirit of faith, but of love and of power and a sound mind, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Sometimes I'm afraid, but when I'm heavy laden, know that you will carry me, your presence will always be.
Community prayers. Okay. Please pray with me. For hope in even the darkest moments, Lord, in your mercy. When we doubt or forget that we can be met by you and be bearers of your presence, let us remember that you can come to us in a still, small voice, and let us see your work in others as a model. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are dying, waiting by their bedside, and grieving in this season. Lord, in your mercy. May I, this tattered and worn strip of fabric, be an incarnation of you, Father God. Worn and torn, weak and weak, may I share strength with the other divine strips woven together with me. Viewed from afar, may we be a profoundly accurate image of you. Up close, may we be your presence wrapped around those who need you. Lord, in your mercy.
This is the time in our gathering where we think about generosity and what it means to live lives of generosity, including giving of our finances to the work of Artisan Church, but also beyond. And so I want to invite you to consider giving the ways you can give. It's also outlined on our website if you don't see all the information quick enough. But let's say the generosity litany together. There is nothing we have
stand for our doxology. Praise God from
receive this benediction as you go today. May you receive with grace and with great comfort the invitation to be Theotokos this Advent season, and even today as you leave this building. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
I don't.
after all that we've been through, to believe in magic. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do.